Welcome. It's the Long Coat Mafia, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, the Long Coat Mafia podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. And this week, I'm bringing you the first of two panels. We were not lucky. We were graciously allowed to get at Saturday's four-state Comic-Con this past March 23rd, 2019. And I say that because Josh from Victims and Villains was gracious to allow us to record it and share what we recorded with him for his podcast as content. Josh, if you're listening, thank you very much. This panel is the Necroman Ashcan premiere panel, and it also stars, it stars Mark Scholl. He's the writer and creator of Necroman, and artist Jason, let me call him just S because I can't, I'm going to butcher his last name to high heaven, so let me just say that. He's the artist behind this Necroman. So, that being said, let me give you the disclaimers like I always do when it comes to a panel episode. The first one is, we're not laying claim to this content. This content is provided by Four State and those on the panel. We are just sharing the content with all of you out there. Why are we doing this? Because it allows those who could not make it in any way, shape, or form to the Four State event to listen to one of the panels. That's the first aspect. The second aspect, it allows those who attended the event a chance to hear something that they might have missed or didn't get a chance to listen to in one form or another. The third aspect, it allows not just folks who participated in the panel, but Four State themselves to say, hey, look at the type of panels that we offer all of you, or the content of what we provide. The second aspect is what I did editing wise, or I should say the second disclaimer. I took out maybe about 30 seconds or so of just plain dead air. I didn't really boost much of anything in this. I did boost a little bit towards the end. You'll be able to notice that, and just because it's an audience questions, or I should say a question from one of the audience, that the mic didn't really pick up that well. And because the room is, again, way better than what we had or tried to get when we were getting the panels at Paracon last year. So, but let me just say this because of the editing aspect. The last 5 minutes, other than me boosting an audience member's question, I didn't edit that too much at all. Why? Because something wonderful happened at this panel. I say this because it's a first, I think, for Four State, and it was a first for us capturing it in essence audio for the most part, because there was a proposal. Jason proposed to his girlfriend at the panel. She did say yes. It's a wonderful moment, even though it doesn't, he didn't ask. He went down on one knee and proposed. She nodded yes. You hear that aspect. But I wanted to leave that in uncut and leave that alone for the sake of posterity, for the sake of everything, because it was just a wonderful moment. And I wanted all of you out there to, in essence, be a part of that moment intact and for context. Not really a third aspect. This was just a quick and dirty panel record, which means we just had one mic, and everything came out pretty much okay. We didn't really have to boost too much. And because there was no profanity in this, I will be removing the explicit tag for all of you. So, that being said, here is the panel, everyone.
Alright, so what's going on, guys? My name is Josh. I go by Captain Nostalgia. I'm the host of the Victims and Villains podcast. We are the marriage between pop culture and suicide prevention. Well, we're here today spotlighting the independent comic that is Necroman. So if anything that you guys hear from this panel interests you guys about the book, you guys can actually go. They have a panel where Mark has a whole bunch of other books on top of Necroman, but Necroman is the release that they are spotlighting today. So tell us a little bit about this book, man.
Necroman is basically my marriage of my love of superheroes and horror movies. So I took a superhero, and in the line of duty, I killed him off, brought him back to life as a zombie, and his struggle is basically he has to relearn how to be a superhero.
So this is a really unique book in the fact that this is not the original incarnation of these characters.
Correct. So a couple years ago, it was 2012, I wrote a short 12-page issue, kind of just on my own a little bit, and with my writing partner, Grogan. We released it, and it was just kind of, I was just kind of figuring out what I was doing. I never wrote anything before. And then we released a second one a couple years later, still kind of feeling my way through what I was doing. And through doing that and a couple other books that we work on, Death Rite, which is like a slasher, Halloween, Friday the 13th type of thing. And we just released a new one too called It Came from the Lab, which is like a B-movie monster type thing. Through writing other things as well, I kind of got a little bit better at it, and I met Jason, wherever he's at. And
this guy over here.
Yeah, who's an incredible artist, and he talked me into rebooting Necroman and starting it from scratch and doing it better. So that's what this one is here, which just came out the end of last year. Yeah. And we're currently working on the second issue, which is almost done, but today we're featuring a small preview ashcan of number 2.
All right, so the element of horror that you bring into this, within the first issue, you guys are going to experience that there is a lot more superhero aspects to it, but you have to, they're necessary to kind of make that bridge into the horror aspect.
Right. The whole series in general, my goal is to, to quote one of my favorite singers, he says, and I agree, my brain kind of works the same way. It's kind of like Bugs Bunny and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So that's kind of the way I think, and that's the kind of the what I'm putting into this book.
I don't. There you go. Well, thank you. So this series is Grayscale.
Yeah.
And the original series is Grayscale, so why keep, you know, rebooting the essence of the character? Why make that kind of continuation?
Wasn't the original series color?
Yeah, the original one was color.
And oh, man.
So this one, we went for a moody grayscale.
Well, I feel like it's that's definitely a throwback to more of kind of like the 60s and the 70s.
Universal monster type. Yeah, yeah. That was kind of the goal of it. To give that vibe. So a lot of dialogue, especially in the first issue, is reminiscent of like Silver Age superhero stuff. Like, you know, it kind of reads like an old Superman or something. But the mood and the tone of it is more, like you said, Universal Monster, kind of dark and you know, black and white and stuff. So it's a tough balancing act to try and figure out where that line lies in between.
So as an artist, what attracted you to Necroman? Because it was you originally that approached Mark about doing the reboot. What was it about the character that and you said, okay, this is good, but we can make it better?
I like drawing superheroes and zombies, so it just seemed like a really good time. I was like, yeah, I could do that. And I was working for God Awful Comics at the time, and I forget what we were doing, but I had met Mark at ParanoiaCon 2017 or something like that.
Yep.
And we just automatically kicked it off, and I was reading through the Necroman copy that he gave me, and I was like, man, I could really kick this book's ass, you know, like I could really put it on it. So that's kind of why I went for it. Plus the zombie superhero just sounded like a really good time. I mean, who doesn't want to draw a zombie superhero?
Yeah, from the first time that, like, we had met, and I sat next to you, and the zombie, like, nature is kind of, like, almost like a zombie Superman.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, he's got, like, his right fist in the air, he's got, like, brains popping out. I was like, I don't know what this is, but I need to find more. Like, there's just something electrifying about the first time that you see Necroman, this undead version of Blue Wonder.
Yeah. It's great because, you know, issue one got us so far. So when it comes to doing books, a lot of it is the setup, you know. So issue one was nothing but a setup where, I'm going to be honest with you, it was kind of boring drawing the Blue Wonder, but at the end of it, I was like, I get to kill this guy and make Necroman, and he's going to be what it's all about. So getting there was the most fun part about it all.
So kind of walk us through some of these characters, because Necroman definitely feels, like you had said, like a very Silver Age homage to the character of Superman. And Blue Wonder also has his version of Lex Luthor and Lois Lane for this book as well.
Right, yeah. We have Dr. Howard Hubchick the Horrible, which is kind of his Lex Luthor. He's the way we set it up is Blue Wonder is already a very well-established superhero, and he's done many, many adventures, and Dr. Hubchick's kind of his villain all the time. And he's stopped him probably who knows how many times. So there's that. And then there is a female reporter, Victoria Venson, who is the love interest for Blue Wonder. And that, so she's kind of like the Lois Lane.
And there's kind of like this layer of almost, I'm gonna say this so don't be offended. There's almost kind of this like layer of like comedy. Like, interacting with some of the crowd,
yeah,
he's got this very large ego about him.
He does, yeah, and we did that on purpose. There's humor throughout the whole book, and the further we get into the series, the darker the humor will be. But in the beginning, we had a lot of fun, especially for me with the dialogue with Blue Wonder, because he is a very arrogant superhero, and because he's so good at his job and has done it for so long, he kind of takes it for granted. And when it's taken from him when he dies, you know, and comes back as Necroman and has to relearn his powers, relearn who he is, we're probably going to see him learn some humility throughout that.
All right, so this is my question, is that these heroes are already established. This hero is, because we don't know, maybe this is the universe opening up with this reboot. Are we going to see powers of this character in death that we never saw with him in life?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, he's going to have a whole... There's a few powers that carry over, but for the most part, he has a whole new set of powers, which we're going to have a lot of fun seeing him figure out what they are and how to use them.
Rediscovering flight. That was a good time. That was a fun time. That's on issue two, where he's rediscovering his powers of flight. It's a good time.
Just kind of imagine that scene from the Shazam where he's like on the half pipe and he's just kind of like, oh, I can fly.
Something like that. Roughly without the half similar. Pipe. And she's like, but yeah, it's close. It's a good time. There's a splat involved.
Even though this character, when you first see him, he looks kind of badass, dark, and scary, we're not afraid to make him look like a fool.
Right.
I mean, that's the journey of humility, right? Is that you have to fall on your face multiple times before you kind of realize, you know, talk about help and stuff like that. So I don't know how in the first issue you guys want to get.
I think we're trying to get the screen going so we can show you guys what this book is all about.
But do you want to talk about the massive cliffhanger that issue one presents?
It basically just leaves you off with him coming out of the grave and makes what I've.
I got this. Yeah. So we kill a guy, right? The superhero. Do you really kill him if he comes back, or do you just change him a little bit? That's something I struggled with. But we're just, for all intents and purposes, we'll say we killed him. So the Blue Wonder dies, and we're bringing him back. And if you read the issue, you'll see exactly how it all goes down. But the last part of the book is my favorite part, because put aside killing this cocky, arrogant superhero, which was a lot of fun, but now as an artist I can stretch my wings and really dig into the character. So towards the end, it's nothing but like the catalyst of the story gets you to here, and then right here at the end is where Necroman's coming back, and he's coming out of the ground, and I really sweated on those. I mean, it's some of the best work in issue one, if you ask me, is the very last page. That's probably my favorite page on there. But the cliffhanger is that now you have a zombie in front of you, and he's freaking hungry, and you know, like Donald is one of the characters in the book, where basically he doesn't know what the hell is going on. He doesn't know if he's drunk. He doesn't know if he's delusional. He just, you know, Donald's been in a really downward spiral since May. It was May 1st. Yeah, May 1st was the date that we used because it was a significant date to me. So we sort of just springboarded off of that, but it really just chops it off right at issue one. So most of you would be mad. You know, we've gotten some pretty interesting things from people that have read the book, you know, and they're like, how can you leave us like that? But that's our job, is to leave you wanting the second issue and wanting more and wanting to come back for the future issues.
So. Especially the way that it builds. Mark does a really great job at building the tension and creating that very larger than life climax, like very emotional, and then it's kind of like black screen, and then it's Zombie Man after that. I mean, obviously in the book he's called Necroman. He has not received that title yet.
No, bit of a spoiler, we're gonna show that in issue two, is him coming up with his name and getting his costume and such.
All right, so this first issue here, mm-hmm. I think we've kind of gone through it. We've wet your guys' whistle enough. Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah? All right. I'm used to, like, metal crowds, so... yeah. All right. Anyways. It's cool.
Issue one or issue two?
So we're going to... We're going to dive into... Because I don't want to spoil everything for you guys... This first issue has romance, it has heroics, it has comedy, it has a lot of the things that you guys expect from the superhero genre. And tell us a little bit about what this Ashcan is going to be like, because this is the exclusive release of the Ashcan at this convention.
Yeah, it's basically the first six or seven pages of the issue, so... It gives you a little bit of an idea of what direction we're going to go with in this one.
And these Ashcans are extremely rare.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You guys are only going to put out, 50?
Yeah, so for every issue we're going to do an Ashcan, just to kind of give you guys a little bit of a preview of what we got in store. But we did it for the first one, mainly because... We were trying to hit our deadline of Free Comic Book Day, but we just couldn't pull it off. It turned out to be we had some hiccups here and there, but we released an Ashcan just kind of on a whim, and it turned out that people really enjoyed them and liked it, and it served its purpose in bringing people back to actually buying the full book. So we're going to do that with every issue, and we did it with the second one today. So,
well, I never heard the term Ashcan before meeting Jason. So if people in the audience are like me at one point, can you kind of explain what an Ashcan is?
Okay, so don't quote me on it, because I'm roughly retelling a story that was told to me, so I might have some of the details wrong. But from what I understand is in the old days, especially during like the 90s, I believe, the bigger publishers like Marvel and DC would have... the artists and writers would make these Ashcans, which were just small previews of their books, and take it to their publishers as a selling point to print the actual, like, they would give them an idea of where they were going with the story and stuff, and editors and stuff would be able to look at it and give their two cents about it. But for the most part, they used to just throw them away because they were just small previews and they didn't really serve any purpose other than that. So they would just throw them away. But I guess some people within the companies used to grab them out of the trash can and start selling them because they would be rare. There wouldn't be a whole lot of them made or anything, and they would sell them for a lot of money. And I guess it really caught on, especially with like small indie people like us, and in order to put their own stuff out there. So that's kind of, from my understanding, that's where it comes from.
Yeah, because I think it does a really great job now. It's like almost something like if you read comics digitally, like Comixology, Amazon, or right. even like DC or something like that, like they have like previews that you can read before indulging into the content, whether or not you're going to commit to purchasing it or right. reading it.
And also, I mean, for guys like us, it's really helpful because, you know, this isn't our day job. We have day jobs. So for us to make a full issue, it takes a lot longer than it would professionals. So an ash can in between the time of releasing one and two it really helps to keep everybody's interest and to keep us on their minds so they, you know, don't forget about us, because it's there's so much out there right now for people to, so much media, you know, between movies and TV and comics in general, it's hard to keep fans, you know, so it's a good way to kind of give them something in between to lead up to it, so by the time we're done, you know, they're more willing to come back and buy the book.
Absolutely, and it's a great way to really keep those interests alive and to keep the nature of the fandom and that connection between creators and fans
right.
as well. So let's see this ash can and kind of what you guys have going for it right now. Okay. So we have here, we have the Necroman who is saving a child from a burning building. And the second issue, I believe, is called
Baptism of Fire.
Baptism of Fire, that's right.
Yeah.
Do you want me to put that on the screen?
You can.
Through it.
Yeah.
We're all good to go.
Baptized by fire.
Yeah, it doesn't have the words.
That's fine. But it'll give you guys an idea of what to do. And you guys also, if you guys like the imagery that you guys are seeing for this exclusive cover, it's also a exclusive print for this convention that you
and
guys
sticker.
Can pick up. And sticker.
Yep.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a print. All right. Sticker.
So basically, it's a continuation directly from where the first issue
stops.
Can't
yep.
stop.
Yep.
So it's an outpouring, basically. Where are we at, Jay?
I'm getting it. One blew it up. So it's
that's
a
cool.
Smaller version. So can you guys see it, the first page?
Does it look something like that?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Okay. You just don't get words.
All right. It's cool. I mean, you want them to read the ash can.
You do. So you have to buy it. Where the words are.
All right, so this idea of kind of the zombie coming back to life, where do we start out with kind of, Harold is the name, right?
Donald.
Donald. So Donald is the gentleman that finds Blue Wonder, and he's kind of like, you know, what's going on? Because this event takes place 6 years after his death, correct?
Right, yep. Yeah, he's in the cemetery, visiting someone, which we won't reveal that. That's something you have to read number one for. Mm-hmm. But he's visiting someone in the cemetery, and that's when Necroman comes out. And we really started off the second one with a kind of a classic like horror chase scene mm-hmm. with Necroman. He's you see that he's
in this one.
Yeah.
I think the ash can gets to it.
It does, it's right here.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so I mean, we see a little bit of Necroman trying to remember things from the past, but ultimately the zombie hunger is kind of taking over his brain at the moment, and that's where the chase comes in, because he sees Donald.
So he's a pretty well-built dude.
Yeah.
So this is my
question. He was bigger. So my deal was I wanted a monster for Blue Wonder, like incredibly hulking superhero, like just ballistic, like that wrestler. That dude's huge. Something like that big.
Which is funny, because when the character was first conceived,
he kind of almost looks like the Flashpoint Superman.
Yeah, he was skinny. The first time I came up with him, I drew him first, and I made him extremely skinny. And when Jason took over, all of a sudden he became this hulking creature. And
it's like night and day.
Yeah,
like,
it watching, really is. Like, but like
seeing that,
I don't know. It just seemed to work, and we went with it. So
the idea is okay. So he had 6 years to regenerate, so he could build himself up and get back into shape, if you will. As he goes through life and things beat him down, he can become less powerful, and he'll actually start to shrink and regress. So if he goes through issues where he's getting beat down, or we can blow him up, we can do whatever we want to this guy, he'll actually shrink down a little bit. But the more he's inactive, the less he gets his butt kicked, the bigger he'll want to regress back into his normal bulky size, if that makes any sense to anybody. Because it made perfect sense when I thought about it.
So the zombie genre has presented both fast and slow zombies. So with a comic book, you can't really see the something that you would see in like motion. So with him being weighed down by all of his like mass and muscles, do we think that Necroman is a fast zombie or zombie?
He's scary as hell. Like, that's not the zombie you want coming at you, you know? Like,
what if it was, though?
You're dead. I mean, that's just a wrap. Like, let's put it into the context of, if you have a regular zombie, easy money. I'm out the door. See you later. But a zombie superhero, he's blowing through the door, and he's going to try to fly at you. Like, I don't know.
So his super speed survived death?
Maybe-ish. I mean, he's not quite where he used to be. So where he was as in his skill set with Blue Wonder, he's not there, you know. And we're leading you along to see where he at. But as he gets bigger and, you know, as he goes through it, he could get better, or he could get his butt kicked and get worse. And, I mean, it's all to say. All
right. So throughout the course of this Ashcan, are we going definitely that zombie hunger? And so was it fun for you as a creator to kind of embrace some of like the classic horror films and the zombie genre of like Romero?
Yeah, it was definitely a challenge to try and figure out what aspects of already known zombie lore would make sense and work with a zombie superhero. Because, I mean, I there may be some other out there, but I'm not aware of them. So I didn't really know what... I mean, you know, I was basically starting... There's no Bible to follow, basically, is what I'm saying, other than, you know, actual zombie movies and superhero comics. So it was definitely a challenge to try and figure out where the middle lies.
Yeah, because you want to marry him. Like, you normally, like, when zombies, like, come back from the dead, like, we've explored this in pop culture, it's like their first instinct is to eat.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what it seems like you guys exploring. So for you, I know you personally, and you love horror films.
Love horror films.
Right.
I've even got my son into horror films. And we play this game. We call it Dumb Things White People Do in Horror Movies, because they do the chronic odd. You know, somebody's going to fall. They're going to split up. So, yeah, I absolutely. I like to interject that into the books myself, because I'm a horror nut.
Going back to the hunger and eating brains, that's going to definitely be one of his challenges is, you know, when that hunger hits and he wants to eat brains, he's going to struggle, because he wants to save people ultimately. He doesn't want to eat their brains. So that's going to be a struggle for him. And along with that is just the way he looks in general, you know, being so scary would... people wouldn't let him save them, you know, they'd be too afraid. So
issue 2, we cover that part with people being afraid of his appearance.
For the record, Jason's like one of the funniest guys to watch horror movies with. So if you ever get a chance, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a good time. I cringe on some of the stuff, to be honest with you. I'm like, really, man? Like, and I feel like that annoying person at the movie where I'm yelling at the TV, like, don't go in there, you're going to die, or why would you split up? Yeah. You know what? I tell you what. There's a killer after us. Why don't we just split up? Instead of manning up and coming together and murking that fool. No, let's split off so he can systematically kill us. And while we're at it, let me put some high heels on here in the ice. Yeah, freaking ridiculous.
So for you as an artist on here, because we're going to talk about horror logic here in a second.
Cool.
What, you know, you have like such an immense passion for this genre and for the medium of comics. So what's it like for you to be able to kind of get away from the Blue Wonder stuff and more embrace the Necroman stuff?
I did Necroman 1 with Blue Wonder specifically to get to Necroman. So it's really refreshing because this is where I wanted to be, artistically speaking. You know, like I set myself up to be where I'm at with Necroman right now. Necroman, Blue Wonder was a vessel to get to Necroman, so I'm super stoked about Necroman, you know, extremely excited. Issue 2, with the ash can that you see, leads into it, so you'll see that I really try to push that horror aspect, especially on this page right now that you guys see, you know, that old chase scene. But guess what, guys? Donald doesn't fall. But I really want to do it. He doesn't, and I'd be damned if I was going to do that to my character. Because Maddox would have been like, Dad, that's one, you know, right away. But I really enjoy it for the horror aspect of it. And we can get, like, really down and dirty and gritty. And I'm ready for that, you know. Like, I'm really ready to explore more of the horror aspect of it than the typical superhero stuff with Blue Wonder. I honestly enjoyed blowing the dude up, in case anybody. I was like, man, let's get to Necroman already. I think I harassed Mark that night. I was like, yeah. I'm so ready just to, and it sounds sadistic, but I was like, I'm so ready just to kill this guy.
Yeah.
Hopefully nobody was listening in. Like, my FBI agent, you know, was listening in. I did.
We need this guy Jason So, mm-hmm. You see?
He's ready to kill somebody.
It's actually kind of interesting how the first issue, you can kind of split it into two halves, where the first half is very heroic and old school in that sense, and then by the midpoint, it switches to horror. And I feel like the second one, we've flipped it and did the opposite, where the first half of it is a lot of the horror tension. And then by the time it gets to halfway point where he becomes Necroman, we jump back into more heroic stuff with him going on his first adventure.
That was awesome doing too. Like making him, or putting him through, you know, like what does he do? Because at this point he doesn't really care. He's like, man, you know, like, do I want to do this? But his old instinct of the Blue Wonder kicks in, you know, so his first adventure, if you will, was amazing to draw. I had a really good time doing that.
So this is my question, is that with issue 1 we really saw a lot of the embrace of superhero classic kind of, I don't want to say tropes, but for lack of a better word.
Oh yeah, there's definitely cliches in there on purpose. Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So are we going to see that as you guys kind of embrace, horror is a genre that's definitely known for that. As you pointed out, you know,
they're called gags.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so with that, are we going to also see that kind of embrace as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, who are you talking? Yeah, absolutely. I'm all, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the cliches in it are, it's more of a celebration of it, you know, because we love this kind of stuff. So, you know, why not embrace and celebrate what makes the genre what it is?
There are some really good gags in, too.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, there's some really good gags in there where I was like giggling, drawing them. I'm like, oh my God, this is like part of the horror. If it was a horror movie, like this would be one of my favorite parts of the horror movie because it's just so ridiculous. And I can't tell you, but it's pretty cool.
Well, he's got some fire coming back. Donald is doing basically what any person would do in a logical situation like this when you have a zombie. Shot to the head.
Blast him in the face.
And so with that kind of, you know, you kind of introduce this element that maybe now he's kind of immortal.
Possibly.
Possibly. I mean, he did kind of survive, maybe survive, but he... The explosion from issue one didn't kill him.
I mean, I would never say he's invulnerable, because that takes away all the tension completely. I mean, why
like read challenge a, accepted just to kill that
yeah,
guy?
Why
you know what I mean?
Read a
like,
story
yeah.
about a character that you just can't kill? I mean, mm-hmm. unless it's for humor's sake, but... he's definitely gonna have weaknesses throughout the series and things that can stop him.
Well, I think we kind of saw that in issue one with his variation of Lois Lane, whose name is escaping me, unfortunately.
Victoria.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of that scene from BVS where it's like the climactic battle, and if you guys haven't seen it, spoiler alert, but he basically goes in favor of Lois, because like he can hear Lois, and that's kind of where he goes, and that we kind of see almost a similar scene within that. So 6 years down afterwards, he's died. How does his death really affect the relationship between him and Victoria?
Completely.
That's something. It's a big reveal in number two. We can't really. I don't want to spoil it.
And that is one of my favorite stories. Yeah. Because listen, Mark is such a good guy. I love this guy. He always like tries to interject like humor and fun. And I'm like, George R.R. Martin, I'm like, let's go them. Let you know, like, I really want to twist it up. So Victoria, he gave me a little bit of freedom. And I really just put the screws to him with it.
I have fingers crossed that maybe like we'll kind of like see Necroman try to eat her brains.
I like the way you're thinking. That's a great idea, but
because like there's that aspect of like familiarity there, so like he knows her, and
but does he remember her
exactly? Because
when he comes back, you'll have to find out.
Kind of almost looks like during this chase sequence in the opening that Blue Wonder remembers Harold, or maybe that
he just wants to eat his brains. Yep, he just wants to eat his brains. That's the only reason he's not really cognitive yet. So when he comes out of the grain with the ground, he's just hit with hunger. You know, that insatiable desire to eat some brains, because he's been dormant for 6 years, so he's starving. He's got the munchies.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, he could, man. I was trying to save you from spoilers.
Oh, I spoil everything.
It's very true.
I'm the worst person to interview. I'll tell you everything that I shouldn't be telling you.
He's like the Tom Holland of the Necroman crew.
I think our first interview, I had to be like, can we fix that? Because I ruined... like, do you remember that? We had to like go in and like post-edit, because I like, you can't put that in there because I screwed up. So Josh interviewed me May 1st, 2018 at Free Comic Book Day for Comics World in Chambersburg Mall at the time. And he did an interview with me, and I shot at the crap. I mean, I ruined everything. I was like, oh, yeah, it does this, and you would have had no reason to buy the book. So I called him up, and I was like, would you please, can we, like, do that again, but next time I'll have an idea of what I'm going to say instead of ruining everything. And he was a sweetheart, and he did it. And it was really bad because the podcast is going, then all of a sudden where he edit, like, you can tell it right away. It's like, you might as well just take a needle across the record, because it's like a...
There's a sound quality difference.
There
yeah.
is. It's like, cool, obnoxious, cool. It was... Yeah. So don't ask me questions, because I'll tell you everything. You won't even have to buy the book. You'd be like, thanks, Jason.
Let me tell you about this, man. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So we have this... His appetite just is so it's increasingly... Satiable. Like, it seems like the entirety of the Ashcan is basically just him...
Well, he's really...
His journey for food.
He's mad because he just got shot in the head. So his brains are hanging out, and he's really kind of ticked off about that. So not only is he hungry, now he's pissed off that Donald capped him in the brain, you know? So he's really upset.
So I have to ask this as a creator. Do you think that... maybe down the line, are you guys going to explore the idea and the concepts behind kind of who he is more? As a character in his mythology, because, like, zombies don't have that much hair when they come back.
Well, which zombies don't? Whose zombie? Do they all not have hair? I don't know. I just wanted to draw some hair, so, like, when I...
Zombie logic, bro.
It is. It's zombie logic. He's got full, luscious, dead hair. necrofollicules.
But he's also got that, like, those, like, you know, that beautiful shotgun now head where he's, like, got the brains kind of coming out. And so
I thought that was the coolest part about drawing him. Is like,
I love that character
design. I like doing his guts. I think that's a lot of fun. And I also like doing his brains. Like, that's a lot of fun to do with the character. And listen, he doesn't have, I think it's his left thumb. Can I have one of those? The red ones? Mm-hmm. He doesn't have his left thumb. So the Blue Wonders thing was always thumbsing it up. So just to be a jerk, I took his thumb as an artist. You know, like, that wasn't really in the we didn't have that scripted, did it? I was like, I'm just going to take his thumb.
Well, one of the original drawings was of him, the artist just took it upon herself to draw him with a missing thumb, and we just kept it throughout the years. And you came up with an idea of, like you said, he's, you know, Blue Wonder is always giving a thumbs up, so
take it.
Yeah, so he gave a reason behind why he's missing a thumb. So
because you got that, like, he's like the almost like the Fonz.
Yeah,
Blue Wonder.
Yeah, well, that's a, you know, like, well, as a superhero, we wanted something cheesy for the Blue Wonder to do. You know, and his big thing was like flexing and posing and giving everybody the thumbs up. So it was just an idea where I wanted to take that away from him completely. So even if he did try to come back, he'd be like, yeah, you know, like, nub up, you know, good idea. Yeah, if I could do something bad to the character to push the story, I will absolutely do it.
So as we're kind of winding down, if you guys haven't figured out by now, we're probably not going to go until 2.
Wait. Let's open it up to questions.
That we will do. Okay. I have just a couple more questions. So, as a creator, like, someone that embraces horror, like, one of the last pages we kind of see, like, it really explores the nature of just the hunger and the grossness of it. Like, I love this kind of stuff.
But that's a great page because he just goes ballistic on eating brains, so... basically, he's at the camp with, and if you read the book, you'll see why Donald is there. But he goes to this camp where they have animals strung up, and he just goes ham sandwich on these brains, you know. Like, it stops him from eating the humans, but he just eats everything. And it was fun to draw, you know, him ripping stuff apart and chomping on brains. It was really just a good time. Because I like the horror films, you know, like that's the stuff I live for to draw.
And it ends on, again, cliffhangers.
Wham! Smack him in the face.
Yep.
So even with issue, I'll always try to leave you guys. We will always try to leave you guys on cliffhangers, so you'll want to come and see us for the next issue. So we leave the ash can on a cliffhanger, and then we're gonna leave issue 2 on a cliffhanger, just because that seems like a lot of fun and get you to buy the next issue.
Well, all right, you guys. Questions.
Anybody got any questions?
Yeah, where can we find it outside four states?
Well, we're making a lot of appearances. You can find us on Facebook. We're about to launch the Kickstarter for issue 2 on April 1st, right?
Yeah.
And a side note, guys, April 1st will actually be, I think, my 4-year sobriety date. So when Mark and I were talking about it, I was like, why don't we just, like, nail something, you know, like dates that mean something to you. So May 1st actually is a very important date to me, and so is April 1st, you know, like two very important dates. So I try to incorporate parts of myself into the book.
But yeah, we're on Facebook, both as Paranoia Comics, which is our publisher name, and Necroman, and we're on Instagram as well. And we're in the process of trying to set up a website for you to be able to order, but at this point, if you just message us on Facebook, we can hook you up and get you some books.
But if you guys want the hookup, wait till Kickstarter launches and go there, because we always go ballistic and you know, and
really cool.
Want to bring you guys in. So Kickstarter is really a great place to find us.
And it's also worth mentioning that if you guys have the resources to get up to Chambersburg,
oh yeah,
Comics World actually still
Comics
has
World. Hooked on
Comics. Yeah, Hooked on Comics in
Carlisle, right?
Myerstown, PA. So there are a few shops here and there that we've gotten into so far that we're just trying to push it more.
We'll actually be at Comics World May 4th, which is Free Comic Book Day, which is really cool. So it's like May the 4th be with you and Free Comic Book Day, so it's like a bonus. But we'll be releasing the hard copies on May the 4th of Necroman issue 2, and I'll be at Comics World in Chambersburg, the shop, and I think, are you guys going to be at
Hong Kong? Yeah, we're
so
going to be.
So we'll have two areas where you guys can get issue two in person.
Anything else?
Okay. Any other questions? We're good, right? Okay.
All
right.
Well, there's one more thing that I want to kind of go over with you guys real quick. So this is the baby
you guys
saving.
Didn't see this yet? This is the Ruby edition.
Yeah, there's three editions of these, by the way. So
you can't get the second one because that's Hooked on Comics, and it'll be that's more for the stores that support us. You know, the issues that some of you had purchased already. The orange issue is what we call the standard, but this is a Ruby edition, and I sort of did this as I don't know a way for. I don't even know how to put it.
Hardcore fans.
So this isn't going to be really for sale, but there's one thing that did change in this whole book here.
So you want to read what makes this book so special?
Oh, no. So what I did was keep going.
Are you all the way to the back?
All the way back.
Last page.
Keep going. You'll see it. Can't miss it. That one. Read that. Okay, so Caitlin has supported me forever. So I wanted to do something special for her, and I wanted to surprise her with...
Oh, wow.
Listen, that was mission successful because she's a very clever girl, so I could never get it by her. So if I was like, oh, let's do this, she's like, are you going to propose to me? Or if I did anything else, she'd be like, what are you going to do? And she's really clever. So this, guys, I could totally sneak in, and I want to thank you all for being here because she had no idea what was going on. So thank you. I'm not really selling these things, but if you look in the back, this is where I did it. So the whole idea was to get these and give her one and let her read it. And then I'd spring the trap. And did I get you?
Spring the trap.
I did. Well, I didn't know how to get her. And I was like, thank you. I knew I wanted to propose to her. I just didn't know exactly how I wanted to get her. You know, I didn't want to do the cliche of bringing her to the beach or something like that. So this was the perfect vessel, guys, to sneak attack her. So thank you all very much for showing up. I really appreciate you guys. And thank you for coming. Are there any other questions about the Necro Man?
At all.
Is the goal to keep one villain for the hero, or is it like a Spider-Man thing where you're going to have multiple?
I want to create all the villains. Man. Oh, yeah. I love bad guys. It's a good time. Like, if you can create as many bad things to go against your character, you would make me a happy guy. So I want to create, and I can't spoil it,
yeah,
but there's got to be more villains.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Victoria might be a villain. Yeah, she might be.
Who knows?
So if he was already a pre-established character like before he died, I imagine like villains he fought while he was alive or like would probably come back at some point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's... So the first story arc, which we're probably going to do over the first four issues, will be the Hub Chick saga, and then from there we're either going to do more long-term sagas like that, or it might even we'll hop between doing that and doing like a different villain each book too. It'll you know, depending on what the story itself is.
Wouldn't they do that with the old Spider-Man? Do you remember those old school Spider-Man?
Yeah, every issue was a different villain.
You almost looked forward to that villain. Like, I look forward to those villains. Yeah. Like, creating stuff and seeing what we can come up with, you know.
But yeah, there'll definitely be a lot of other villains, too.
Be a good time. We good?
I think that's it.
Thank you, guys, very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that panel. Again, links to where you could find Victims and Villains and where you could find Paranoia Comics and Necroman on through social media will be down below in the description, as always. And as per our usual closing stuff, Our Facebook page is, as always, facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Our Twitter handle is the same as our Instagram handle, which is LongCoatMafia. And if you want to email us or contact us, you could always direct message us on Facebook or through Twitter or Instagram. Or you could send us a good old-fashioned email, which is LongCoatMafia@gmail.com. We do respond, and we will read your emails on the air, folks. And as for having a YouTube channel, just go to point your browser or your app to your YouTube, search for the Long Coat Mafia podcast, and it's the first search result. And just click that subscribe button, and if you enjoy the videos you see there, hit that like button. We have at least 2 videos we have to edit together and put up. Plus, we have our Snitsky panel to preview panel to put up. It's a little bit kind of like what we did with this panel. We will put up a 3 to 4 minute preview of what we recorded on YouTube. So there's that. What else? We have a gaming channel over on Mixer. I should be announcing when we are streaming more. I have not been doing that. And our gaming channel is mixer.com/LCMP. All the letters are capitalized. What else? That's about in regards to our social media. But let me just note this for all of you. Please subscribe to both our YouTube channel and our Facebook page, because there are going to be times I put up a Facebook exclusive video, or I'll go live on Facebook, and there are times I'll post a YouTube exclusive video, like what I did this past weekend at Don Ramirez's film art. What he did was he's been giving kind of lectures on certain types of filmmakers, and we've been recording that, and we've been posting those strictly up on YouTube, or at least this one will, because of its length. So if you don't want to miss out on the videos, you have to subscribe to both our Facebook and our YouTube channel. So what else? If you want to hear us on the road, because you're on a desktop or a laptop type device, you can do so by going to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, using the Stitcher app, the Spotify app, plus the Podbean app, as well as where podcasts can be found. If you're going mobile, I do recommend the Podbean app, because iTunes can be finicky at times, like it was for me today. If you plan to stay home, if you don't have a smartphone and you're listening to this off of somebody else's smart device, we do recommend, we are available on your laptop or your desktop device. We're available on iTunes. We are available on Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and plus our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and there you can listen to our complete back catalog of all the other panels that we've recorded over the years, the interviews, and everything. You can listen to us how we evolved as a show over the years. And I do recommend bookmarking our main site, which is again thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, because iTunes does tend to get a little wonky. So there you go, folks. That's about it. And we'll see you next week for our Snitsky panel. So a lot of you wrestling fans out there might want to stay tuned for that panel. And it'll be one of the few panels that we cannot remove the E on. I'll explain that next week. So take care. I'm out. See you guys and gals all next week.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.